Blog Talk Radio.
Wolverines Freedom Radio, broadcasting all around the world,
bringing real news, politics, and even conspiracy theories.
Unlike the other guys, we won't silence you.
Join us on the latest updates with William Bernard, Virgil Sprages, Russell Hodd, right now.
Younger audience discretion advised.
Come and listen to Wolverines Freedom Radio, broadcasting now on iHeartRadio, Spreaker Radio, iTunes, Spotify, and Blog Talk Radio, with William Bernard, Virgil Sprages, Russell Hodd on your favorite apps.
There's something happening here.
With another man, now I'm doing 99. At a prison down in Georgia, close to the Florida line. I've been here for 12 long years, and I finally made the warden my friend. So he sentenced me to a life of ease, taking care of old Red. Now Red, he's the dangest dog this old boy has ever seen. He's got a nose that can smell a two-day trail. Lord, he's a four-legged dragon machine. Just consider yourself mighty lucky to get past the gators and the quicksand beds. But all these years that I've been here, ain't nobody got past Red. Hear the warden say, come on somebody, why don't you run over in the kitchen to have a little fun. Get my lantern, get my gun, Red'll have you treat for the morning come.
I paid off a guard and he slipped out a letter to my cousin in Tennessee.
He brought down me a blue tick count, lost as pretty as she could be. Pinned her up in the swampland, about a mile just south of the gate. And when I take old Red on his evening run, I just drop him off and wait. Hear the warden say, come on somebody, why don't you run? Old Red, you're itching to have a little fun. Get my lantern, get my gun, Red'll have you treat for the morning come.
Now old Red got used to seeing his little lady there every night.
So I kept him away for 3 or 4 days, and I waited till the time was right. I made my run with the evening sun, and I smiled when I heard him let him out. Cause I headed north to Tennessee, and old Red was headed south.
I hear the warden say, come on somebody, why don't you run? Old Red's itching to have a little fun.
Get my lantern, get my gun, Red'll have his treat for the morning come.
Now there's some red-haired blue ticks all through the South. Love got me in there, and love got me out.
And welcome to Wolverines Freedom Radio on this Thursday night, or on this Tuesday night, excuse me. And I tell you what, the weather out here is so crazy. It hailed for a while, now it's snowing, now it's storming. Let's go figure that out. Hey, Sarah, how you doing, my friend? Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you, William?
I'm just trying to figure out how come our weather went bizarre up here. It's been crazy. But our co-host, Russell, will be joining us here in a little bit. He's taking a little break before we go on the show and stuff. But, you know, I was watching your video the other day, and I've been impressed with everybody because you all are doing so good in the polls right now and stuff, and I'm very proud of you all. I was sad that Jonathan Garcia didn't make it into the ballots and everything, but why don't you give us an idea to my listeners who haven't heard you before, because right now we're broadcasting on all podcast platforms right now. And everything, so give them an idea of who you are before we start.
Okay, well, I am just a mom and a corporate trainer that became increasingly frustrated with the lack of opportunities that's being given to us. Well, actually, our opportunities aren't given. They're not being protected is a better option. So I got frustrated. It's difficult for me to trust the school system with my child. It's expensive to go to work. Grocery prices have almost doubled with an anticipation of it going up more. And it's about time we stop fussing about it and talking about it and actually getting involved. And so that's I've decided to do. I've decided to run for Congress, and that's what I've been doing and will be doing all the way till November.
Right. And I know I have been seeing that all over the place. I was reading an article up here. The public schools here in New Mexico, parents are pulling kids out of schools right and left, and because of this, the CRT and everything being passed up here and stuff, and the schools over here just lost over $17 million in federal funds because of that, you know, and it's crazy to see how all this, I mean, they're destroying us right and left. You know, we're seeing it. We're seeing it at the gas pumps, like you said, at the grocery stores and other things. But it's gone insane. I think it's past insane. Would you agree?
I think it's insane, but I kind of see it in a different perspective. I think it's been coming for a long time, a rude awakening.
Yeah.
I think that for so long, people have been allowed to take politics and take the government as their retirement plan. I'm just going to go to Congress and I'm going to be there and I'm going to collect all of my duties and bounties and all this stuff, and hopefully it'll work out for the American people. Nobody's going to Congress anymore to lobby and protect us. It's more about themselves, and they've been willing and dealing for quite some time and selling our freedoms. And I believe wholeheartedly in the scriptures. I'm a born-again believer and teacher of scriptures. I believe him in Matthew when he said, God is not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. And America has sown apathy for a long time. We keep voting people because they got an R in front of their name, but they act like a D. And we have had people who claim to understand what that Constitution means, and the whole time they've been disregarding and disrespecting it. And now they have created this powder keg. Now the true spirit of America has awakened, and we're telling them no more. And
exactly.
I think they're running.
And, you know, let's back. We said on the show, and Russell will agree with me. He's here now on here with us. But even Russell might have said this, and Virgil, you know, this has been pre-planned for many years. You've been on our show before when we talked about this and how all this is being planned out and everything, you know.
Well,
Russell, how many times did we get this right? How many times were we correct?
We definitely had it right all along, but the problem that we're at now is, the schools are out of control. They've been working on it. Getting to this point of indoctrination since the late 60s, early 70s, it really kicked into full gear in the 90s. But I wholeheartedly agree with what our guest is saying there. But right now, it's beyond, and I really hate to say this, and I'm a defender of children, hands down, but we've got bigger fish to fry than the school system right now. I mean, we've got a completely rogue government. And I've been saying that for years, Republicans and Democrats alike. I hate to say, well, Democrat, no, the Republicans sit right there and allow this stuff to happen. The guys who vote with it, get away with it, vote for it. It's just all a big shell game there in D.C. And it's all been said to us, the American people. Well, now we've hit the apex of this thing where there is no turn. You're not going to elect anybody to send them to D.C. and have them do any good. They'll be drummed out of there. They'll be silenced. They'll be ridiculed by the media. And, you know, I've said this before on the show, and God bless the people that are putting in the time and effort to do this. I know their hearts and intentions are good and stuff, but the corruption is so systemic in D.C. that one or two or three or 10 or 12 good people going in there aren't going to change anything, because the other 438 of them sitting in there are going to destroy them along with the media and everything else. I don't believe in a pre-rapture. The Bible says that you will be persecuted in His name. And I think that's where a lot of these weak-kneed so-called Christian leaders, some of them are more motivational speakers than they are actually speaking truth from the Bible. They're more concerned with the size of their church and how loud the band is and filling the seats on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, you know, keep them coffers full. And they've gotten so far away from the truth that the church is pretty much useless at this point.
I agree with what you're saying, because I have seen it. I've actually seen it in my own church that I used to belong to. That's why I left it, because of that reason. And even in the Bible states, you know, the church will get away from the actual truth, but eventually they will come around to each other. And Sierra, what is one of the main things that you plan on doing if you get elected?
Well, I will have to respectfully disagree with the both of you about this stance on the church and on Congress. When I first got into politics, one of the things that I had to do was when I was in high school, we had a VFW event. Where you could get scholarship money for an oratorical contest.
Mm-hmm.
And the subject that year was My Voice in Our Democracy, and I found there was over 66 different accounts in government history where one vote made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Several of them was the presidency, but nearly all of them had to do with Congress. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that one couldn't. It was one that led the charge for the revolution to take place, and look at America, it's still going strong. It was
that's
I definitely disagree with you on that. I mean, you know, with all due respect, America is not going great. We are not.
Well, no,
we are on the verge of complete collapse as we know it. The supply chain's been damaged almost beyond repair. They're still doing stuff to make it worse, more regulations. They couldn't be happier that gas is at $5, $6, $7 a gallon towards across the country. We have not, and you know what, I just misspoke, forgive me for that. We have not been a country since about 1980s, 1900s, somewhere. What we are is we are a corporate conglomerate masquerading as a country. Washington, D.C. is owned lock, stock, and barrel by these corporations.
Yes, but the people are not. But the people are not. The government is owned, but the people is not. And according to that constitution, this nation is of the people, by the people. Now, when you have somebody that comes into your area and they take over, you don't cower down and back down and give it up. You don't do that. When we were forming this nation back in 1776, We had a bunch of farmers and intellectuals that was fighting the greatest Navy and the greatest military force that there was in the world at that time. And they whooped them not once, but they whooped them twice. So I subscribe to the idea that anything is over. I believe that the scripture says he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could think or possibly ask, according to the power at work in me. And my Bible teaches me that the power at work in me is the same one that rose Christ from the dead. So if death couldn't defeat it, you can't defeat America. What it's going to take is individuals who don't succumb to what they see and what they feel, and they cleave on to the same power and spirit that caused the farmers to get up in trees and do guerrilla warfare and to give everything that they had to birth this nation. And this is what I say to the American people. If you don't have that fight in you, if you were still yelly-becking and whining and complaining about it, and you're unwilling to put your hand to the plow, or in this case, pick up the musket and go in, then go sit down and let the rest of us do it. Because I, for one, have come from the heritage of those who created America, and I also come from the heritage of those who had to deal with the pain of America. Mm-hmm. And we made it. And I don't believe
for one moment
that we're not going to make it.
Yeah, Russell said that many times.
I'm not
you know,
America.
It's going to take a bloodbath to do it, you know, and you're correct. I mean,
then so be
Russell
it.
Said
it
many,
is what it is.
Yeah,
right.
Russell
yeah.
said it many times. Yes, you know, those that are crying, you know, sit down. Sit down. If you're crying about it, you're not going to do anything, you know. And
because
so
I'm
that's
not
going to
let Pelosi sit up there and act like that. And I'm not going to let senile Joe Biden turn the White House into some expensive nursing home. I am tired and I'm irritated with everybody that's complaining. But when we get ready to get out there, and those of us who do it, I believe that the power of God in me can transform. It can change something. All we need is individuals who are wanting to appropriate and stand firm on what the Constitution affords. I am not looking up there to cause a fight with anybody. I'm too old for that, and I'm too cute to get dirty. I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to tell you is, you put a bill on my desk, and it has a writer that offends the Constitution, I can talk better than the best of them. You ain't seen a filibuster till I got there.
Right.
I can go in there, and I can persuade and cajole people to be intimidated to sign that bill. I can put my own bill on the floor. But what I'm going to need when I get to D.C. is when I'm out there bulldozing and I'm knocking over and I'm reclaiming that, as the people, you can't sit, critique, and argue and fuss about it. When I say, come to the rally, get to the rally. When I say, send this, send it, because I'm fighting for you, and I'm doing it, but a person can't do it if the
and
people
see,
don't
and
see,
and that's exactly what we need, Sarah, because I've been looking for somebody that was, there's some bills I've been looking at wanting to put out there, and I've talked to a couple of people about it, but they don't want to represent it. People like you, I could go up there and say, hey, check this bill out and tell me what you think and see if we can do it, you know.
And you just
Well, I agree with our caller to the point that, yes, there's a handful of us. I don't know. I think it's probably less than I think it's less than 20% of the population. You know, people are mesmerized. I don't care if you watch CNN, everything they're saying is biased to what that is. You're watching Fox, it's all biased. You actually have to go to overseas, news outlets and stuff to get any kind of truth about what's going on here. What I was going to say, answer to her, yes, it is. But remember, and this is the part that really bothers me, because I've seen this coming for 30 years. I've been preparing for it for 30 years. I wouldn't be here today if I had completed whatever it was God put me here on earth to do. I've been shot, I've been blown up, and I'm still fighting. I wish I had a clue as to what I'm supposed to be doing, but... I just get up every day and put my best foot forward.
Well,
and I refuse to live. I'm not going to live in fear. It says right. in the Bible, be not afraid and do not fear 365 times. That's once for every day of the year. All right?
Right.
They're gonna break the economy, and things are going to get really, really bad here. And I really don't think people understand how quickly and how bad it will get. These big urban areas, people who live in the rural areas, oh, well, we're good with this and that. Where do you think all these millions upon millions of people in the city are going to go to when there's no food on the shelves? If you're dependent on government, see, you're going to be in a bind. There will be a lot of lost souls when this day comes, and I honestly believe that the people in D.C., along with their foreign agents, are pushing for it for all their worth. I really do.
I'm sorry,
caller, I didn't catch your name. I was a little late getting to the show there.
It's Syria. We had her on the show before.
You can call me Ivy. Everybody else does.
Okay.
I call her Miss Ivy.
You know, it's going to be a big mess. Everybody's pushing. And I want to ask you a question. For your insight, I haven't figured it out yet. This has had me doodling on notebook paper for days and stuff like that. Why would Nathan Rothschild send a letter to the email, which is intercepted, to the UK government demanding that they send in forces and do something that Ukraine was critical, the center block to the global order, as he called it? And I've been sitting here thinking in one thing or another, and there's not a sane reason, a logical reason I can come up with that would make Ukraine be the center zone, so to speak, of the global order. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Oh, absolutely. Ukraine has always been at the center. Ukraine has one of the strongest biolabs that there is in the world, next to the one in China and the medical community in the Netherlands. The Ukraine has mm-hmm. it. It is kind of common knowledge. I mean, it's out to look that they have been testing and creating bio-warfare for quite some time, so it would be a fighting point for big people like Russia and UK and the United States. I think that's why there's been so many issues over Ukraine and why it's such a big deal. Also, in addition to that, you got to understand that Ukraine borders some of the other nations, so it would be advantageous for Russia to acquire it. The problem that's going on with Nathan Rothschild, because that the Rothschilds are the big banking companies and each banking families and each member of the family controls the banking in a particular country. And Nathan is the one that controls it over the UK. That is the reason he was speaking to the UK. So he's the one that's over the UK. That's what his influence is. So, and for those who don't believe me, just Google it. Just Google it.
Well, it makes sense because we've been trying to figure it out.
One more question, okay? And I've been kind of standing alone on this. I've caught flack from every direction imaginable, and I'm no way defending Putin. He is a cold, black-hearted, calculating son of a bitch, okay? Period. But he had warned the NATO to stop pushing further east, warned them, because if Ukraine became part of NATO, they could put, armies right on the border and stuff. So it was a national security thing for him. He went to the UN over the BioLab we were just discussing, which, by the way, was done with the United States. So, and they were flat. Our government was flat caught in a lie with that, because I think three or four different people gave three or four different answers. But, so, and I got to thinking about this and figured it out, and did Vladimir Putin fire the first shot on the war against the New World Order?
Well, here's my thing. I personally don't think so. I think that this has been, I think 9/11 was the start of it. I just do. But I do believe the hardship with the Russia and the Ukraine situation is that none of the players are guiltless.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are. Both of them are wrong. In this case, the question becomes, who's more wrong? Now, it depends on when you talk about the New World Order. The New World Order has been in existence for a while. It's been conditioning. That is why I do push people to deal with education, because education is the arsenal and the weapon that they use to usher in the New World Order. It's not the bullets or the bombs that are being dropped that you need to be worried about. It's the minds of people that would think it's okay to do that. So where do we develop the mind? In the home and in the school. So you break down the families and the homes, which is what has happened since 1950 all the way up to 19, it's still happening. But I'm just saying, that started in then. And then the next thing you do is you break down the entire school system and turn it into concentration camps and plantations of the mind, which occurred when the Department of Education was developed under Jimmy
Carter. Kind of what we're seeing now.
Okay,
it's
well,
what we're seeing now. I'm going to Congress because you need a linebacker that will keep the federal government out of the state. But the real issue with the New World Order is the minds that these people are cultivating so that they have a labor force they can control, let alone having them think for themselves, because it's much easier to control you in your head than it is with whips and chains.
Okay, well, let me throw this at you, because I'll just – the whole media coverage of this Ukraine thing, you know, this Zelensky, oh, he's such a hero and a brave man and all this. He ran the most corrupt money laundering operation in the world, child drug trafficking, biolab, black market weapons, and they're making him out to be a hero. And now you got everybody, I don't care what town you're coming in, war criminals. Oh, my God, civilians got bombed, man. They're killing civilians. But I would say is, well, you know, that happens in war, and if Vladimir Putin is guilty of war crimes, why isn't Bush and Obama guilty of war crimes for the 200,000-plus civilians that were killed in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well,
right.
Okay, let me just say this. I believe that Bush and Obama did some really crazy stuff, okay? Some real, real crazy stuff. I don't believe that they did what Vladimir is doing now, is taking advantage of an opportunity. I believe that's what Bush did. I believe that Obama capitalized on it for popularity and to push his narrative and agenda. So in that instance, I can agree with you. But I think it's a little bit different when it comes to the threat of American soil, because you have to remember, we didn't enter and engage with Afghanistan and Iraq without provocation.
Well, no, actually, the reason for that, they said the reason for that was 9/11 and all that, and you know as well as I do, Maria, that we weren't attacked by Iraq or Afghanistan. We were attacked by Saudi Arabia. Those pilots were all Saudis.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I don't want to get my people in trouble. That's not a complete truth. And I'll have to leave it there because I don't want to get the individuals in trouble. That is not a complete truth. Nationality may be correct, but who hired you can be different. Let us not forget that Columbus was not Spanish, but that's who he flew up. That's what he sailed under. So nationality might be correct, but who sent you may not be.
You know, and we'll probably never get to the truth and all that, but here's the thing, too, that we're seeing, too, and we just confirmed this yesterday. I don't know if you heard our show yesterday or if Patricia picked up on this as well, but right now the economy around the world is fixing to get tanked with Bitcoin. And we confirmed that the entire world economy is fixing to get tanked with Bitcoin. Bitcoin was actually invented by Vladimir Putin and everything, and he put this all in motion for the digital currency. And what
I don't think enough people have money in Bitcoin for it to have that kind of effect on the U.S. economy. I mean, there will be people who lose some big money and stuff, but it won't be enough to crash the economy. But what would be enough to crash the economy? And I got this from a pretty reliable source, Maria. I wonder if perhaps you heard the same thing, that when Biden called Saudi Arabia to beg for more oil production, they didn't bother to answer the phone. And then I got sent a clip where the when I say clip, I'm talking about a message, not a video. So let me clarify that the Saudi Arabia may start basing the price of oil on the yen. And if they do that, that will destroy the American dollar as the world standard. And you want to talk about economy tanking, it'll make like a Sunday picnic. Have you heard
that?
On that, Maria?
Well, here's my deal. As far as Bitcoin is considered, Bitcoin is probably going to, I don't think in the foreseeable future, I mean like maybe a decade from now, is going to collapse the bank system everywhere. It's going to. I don't believe that's a good thing. I believe that's ushering in the Antichrist. I don't think people really think about scripture. I know a lot of people put Jesus on one side and politics on another, but the fact of the matter is when you get saved, he's the Lord over your life. So every aspect of life is governed by his word. And so the Bible tells us that there's going to be an Antichrist that occurs that will take on the scene and take over the world. Explain to me how somebody's going to do that as long as America exists.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
And that's why I was wondering, and that's kind of the path that got me set on as far as the Rothschild email and that kind of stuff like that. And media, all outlets, I don't care if you turn on the U.S., the U.K., the French, whoever you turn on, this Lewinsky or whoever the hell, mafia top there in Ukraine, he's a hero, he's this, all brave, and da-da-da-da-da. Do you think that could be the if this is out there, okay, this is way out there, but it's going to stick in your craw. do you think that could be the beginning of the entrance of the Antichrist?
No.
Because
the Bible speaks very highly of what's required in order for Antichrist to take over, and the fulfillment hasn't occurred. And even then, the Bible says that when all of those things occur, it's not Antichrist. That is the beginning. So everything has not been met according to Scripture. So the beginning hasn't started. What we're dealing with right now is Jacob's trouble. this is that moment. If you go back to the story of Jacob, the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with the Lord, and the Lord, because day was breaking, touched him in his hip, knocked it out, and gave him a new name. So when we are in that place now where we are wrestling with God over identity, that's why the Constitution is on the line. That's why immigration and the border wall is being done. It's because what is trying to occur and what is being promoted and will continue to be promoted until God comes is the end of all time. I don't believe, the Bible says it's not for us to know the times and seasons. Even Christ himself don't know it, only God does. But we can know the day or the hour, but the Bible commands us to know the times and the seasons. Now is the time for us to search the truth of God in the earth. It's now's the time. Now, it doesn't mean that those who are Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist cannot dwell here, that we're going to suppress them, that we're going to beat them, that we're going to do all those things. That's stupid. The scripture tells you not to do that. If you as a Christian ridicule and abuse someone who doesn't believe like you believe, the Bible says you sinned. So this is not about religion. The way that God views nations is not like we do. We view them by landmass and pieces of paper. God views nations based on belief. Look at what's happening in Canada. Look at what's happening in Cuba. Look what's happening in the UK. There is a whole nation of people that are saying the same thing, that are doing the same thing. And whether those who are not like us, believe it or not, they're getting a change. They're getting a change. Is it coming without persecution? No. Is it not? Is it coming easy? No. Is it absolutely overwhelming and overbearing at times? I think I've cried more now than I did when my daughter died. I think that I have suffered more now.
I think all of us have. Right.
You know,
I think all of us have.
But I don't think that our focus should be on the end. I think what our focus needs to be on is the now. Right now, we need to do something. I'm not really concerned about what forces of darkness and communism is doing. They didn't beat Jesus at the cross. They didn't beat God at heaven. The Bible says they're not going to beat him at the end. So I don't need to be concerned about them because they're already defeated. It doesn't matter how loud they get. It doesn't matter how frustrated and what lies and what systems that they set up. Well, if we believe what we believe, the word of the Lord destroys that. So all I'm saying is you don't get to bring darkness into my area because that's not the will of God. We need to get a standing. So I don't think about the end of the world because if it's the end of the world, that will be here anyway. So it's okay. But the reality is the Bible commands us to occupy until he comes. So I'm going to occupy Congress and I'm going to tell them, you're not a race in America. And whatever I have to do to make that happen, I ain't gonna worry about who's trying to kill me. I ain't gonna worry about who's trying to ridicule me. You can call me any name that you want to because it's not what you call me, it's what I answer to. But what I'm telling you is you're not gonna get away with doing something and somebody don't call you out on it and create just as many roadblocks for you as you do for us. What's good for the goose?
Exactly.
The
exactly. And, you know, what we're seeing too is that everything that they're trying to do is blowing up in their faces anyway. We're kind of seeing that.
The word of the Lord's true.
But me and Russell, we've been both, you know, for the past couple of weeks, we've been trying to focus on what are we missing, Sierra, and something that we're not seeing that we need to focus on. And me and Russell discussed this many times. It's like, what puzzle, part of this puzzle are we missing that we're not paying attention to?
Because
we're
allowing ourselves to get caught up in their drama. They have hurt our feelings. We talk about how sensitive the other side is. Republicans are sensitive, too. They are absolutely sensitive. They called me a racist, so they don't want me to do that, so I don't understand where we became such big old babies. If I think back to the start of the Republican Party, which our anniversary just happened a couple of days ago, you know, God bless America for the Republican Party, not for everybody in it, but for the Republican Party. When we talk about how the Republican Party started, do we even realize that it was under persecution?
That's how it started.
That's a good question.
Yes.
Do we even realize that?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first 28 members, the first 28 members of the Republican Party were all black Americans.
The majority, yeah, it actually did start in the Negro community. We did start the Republican Party, but the biggest thing, and I get nervous about that because one of the biggest things going on in America right now is we're trying to say, oh, this person did this better than others. Listen, the Republican Party started out as a combat against slavery, but it wouldn't have happened if the Quakers hadn't opened up their attics or opened up their cellars and put us in boxes, where it took the collaboration of everybody. While it may have started with us, it did not gain momentum or accomplish what it needed to do until we worked together. So the element that we're missing right now is we are allowing them to divide us all over again while we're constantly saying out of our mouths, we're not divided. We're double-minded. That's why the nation is unstable. Either we want to be equal, either we want to be free, or we don't. We have got to stop drawing distinctions between pigmentation. How much melanin in my skin doesn't determine how smart I am, and your lack of melanin doesn't automatically make you evil. It is the intent of man's heart that makes them evil or good. And the last time I checked,
exactly,
my heart was the same.
And that's what Dr. King said too, man. Judge a man by his character, not his skin color. And I agree with you 100% that they work around the clock 24/7, 365 to keep us as divided as they can. And I catch a lot of flack and stuff too, because I'm like, you know what? You don't get any special privileges because you're this or you're that, or your life choice is this or if you're that, your income is this or it's that, or whatever like that. And the worst thing that I think happened to this country, and I think it could, it may be not completely destroyed, but did a massive amount of damage, was the great LBJ's Great Society, when they put all his welfare out there and stuff like that. They broke up the homes because the father couldn't be there, and this and that, one thing or another. And now I'm telling you, and right now, you cannot walk up down the street without running into somebody who's not playing the government for something. You know, and there's people out there that make a living. You know, 35 years old, never had a job. You know, stuff like that. You know, you know, living off the hardworking people's taxes as they rob us blind. I'm going to tell you right now, them taking a third of my paycheck is not fair and equal taxation. When somebody's, when they're taking that hard-earned money and giving it to people, and this is no way, because you've got everybody playing the system right now. White, brown, black, yellow. I mean, they come to this country just to get on the government ticket. And they're killing us hardworking people and middle class. I'm going to tell you something right now. I live better in the 1970s, working for $5 an hour than I do right now, making $40 an hour.
That's due to a series of a lot of stupid decisions that people in government and authority made. That's just the facts of it. We've had some piss poor things that come across, and LBJ did do a lot of damage to the melanated community. He really did.
And it surprises me how many people who are not aware that even though LBJ signed the Civil Rights Movement, he said to two of the governors that he'll have niggas voting Democrat for the next 200 years, and I'll be surprised if we didn't. We did it. And we still continue to do that because we're hanging on to the hope. One of the things that I want to say, do you know that the biggest advocate for building the wall is immigrants?
Yes. The ones who came here illegally, yes, they are. The ones who came here
illegally.
I mean,
even illegal immigrants. Even the illegal immigrants. In the polling that was taken, my district is 92% Democrat. It is 86% minority. There is a refugee city in my district. There are a lot of illegal immigrants. I would venture to say somewhere in the upwards of part of about 500,000 illegals that's in my area alone. And every last one of them are in support of the build of the wall. Now, are there some that cross that border that look for handouts? Sure they do. Most of the people who cross that border is looking for the American dream. Now, I say build the wall. The reason I say that, my whole issue with immigration, my entire issue with immigration is the fact that you have already proven you don't respect the laws of our nation because you cross the border illegally. So if you want to do what's right to get here, you're not going to do what's right when you get here.
But look at all this child sex trafficking and stuff that comes along with that, and these politicians up there aren't doing anything about it. They want it to continue.
That is why
Maria touched on something a while ago that I agreed with her 100% on, and I've never been able to figure out how they got away with rewriting history and this is specifically the Democratic Party has pounded it into people of color, whatever color they be, that they are on their side, they are for them, they are their protectors, they are looking out for them. And when it comes right down to it, the Civil Rights Bill, nary a Democrat one voted for it. No.
Well, it just goes back
through by a Republican Congress and Senate.
But see, it goes back to a truth. That's what people don't want to do. People don't want to deal with the truth anymore. They want to deal with how they feel. The truth of the matter is people will forget what you do for them, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. The reason that people are so ready to jump on the blue bandwagon and join the donkeys and the jackasses, and I'm not picking, that's the emblem you pick. So if you want to join the jackasses is because they can make you feel good. In a world where there's a lot, life is not easy. Life, you are built in life, and you excel in life by the struggles that you and the challenges you face and overcome. That's how you get strength. Your own body tells you that. If you want to build muscle, you have to tear it. And it's the healing of the muscle that makes you bulk up. So even your body tells you that in order for you to get stronger and in order for you to excel, you got to go through things. Well, people are sometimes set up, and I'll talk about my people, but everybody can find us to find themselves in our story. But because I'm black, I'm going to focus on black. The black culture in America was dealt a raw deal. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. That's not a thought. That's not an idiom or an ideology. We were dealt a raw deal. That raw deal, and so was the Native Americans, so were the Irish, so were the Italians, but they were dealt a raw deal. Now, the
list
of
times.
Right, I can go through a whole list of other people that were dealt a raw deal. But the amount of time that it took for this particular culture to come up to speed. Does anybody understand that, that the whole fullness of the creed did not occur in the African-American community except in the last 50 years? The civil rights movement didn't end until the 70s and the middle 70s. It's just been 50 years.
That's
so
true.
You've got people who are still – there are people who were with the Freedom Riders, my mom being one. I can think of something that's still alive. So it's not like the liberation and the freedoms afforded by the Constitution to all men has been available to the melanated community for a longer part of time. It hasn't been. But that is not an excuse for you to disrespect, disregard, and absolutely disenfranchise an entire nation, because I will remind you that the same nation that dealt the raw deal is the same one who dealt the liberation. So what are you
saying? That's exactly true. And here's the thing. Here's the kicker, Sarah. Here's the kicker, Sarah. These, oh, God, and it makes me mad. These politicians are still downgrading the black community by saying,
oh,
hey.
We're dumb. They treat us
oh,
like
yeah, there's. What makes me mad is they're saying, hey, here, have a free crack pipe. That should make you all, that should make everybody mad. That should make
now,
everybody mad.
You got to be factual. You're a reporter. You have to be factual. Needles are in there.
Right. That's
they're
true.
Equal
that's
opportunity.
True.
Crack in here. You can do them all. And they kid. They got it
yeah.
all.
And that makes me mad, you know. And
well,
stuff.
Gotta,
and it's just.
I've got to make a. I've got to, well, not so much a statement, is I've got to tell a little story about that. Now, when all this integration stuff happened, when it finally, I was born and raised here in Texas, a small town, and that had to have been about 1965, maybe 1966. I was in the second, third grade. When the integration actually happened and stuff. And you know what I saw was that the kids, there was no racism, no hatred, no like that, you know. I mean, we were all kids. We were curious, you know. Da 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 da. You know, gotta touch your hair. Gotta touch your hair. Da da da, like that. But well, I said, you know, the kids were all good. I mean, you junior high, high school, we didn't have any problems with kids. And I'm talking about the ones I grew up with now and stuff like that. It seems like the majority of the problems were coming from the parents and some of the elders and business owners and stuff like that. So I think there was a great step forward made there for a lot of years, and I stand on it, and I'm not going to not deny it. You can call me whatever you wanted to. The real device division that tried, and the people who tried with as desperately as they could to drive a wedge between the American people and the racists and people that like was it really started hard with the Obama administration.
Yeah.
I think it took center stage with Obama, but I think it actually went back to Clinton. It took center stage with Obama, but I don't think people understood the temperature when Clinton was prosecuted for, you know, his indiscretions with Monica Lewinsky. If you'll notice, when that trial came out, that's when race began to come up. He's the first black president. Y'all remember when they said that?
Yes, I am.
And I was mad as a hornet, because in that moment, what you were saying is, black people cheat on their wives and disrespect, that has to be black.
Not only that, the Hispanic community too, because I'm Hispanic and Native American Indian and everything. And I see it on both sides. And I can remember,
I
can tell you.
I honestly believe that is, now that you said that, Marie, I tend to agree with you. It's probably first started really thirsting during Clinton. I'd completely forgotten about that part of it, but from Clinton
Obama took it and ran with
like
it.
Progress he made set back somehow.
All right.
He did.
I can remember. I can remember, guys, when the tree riots broke out. I mean, I was in Atlanta, Georgia in the 1960s, okay? And I can remember when the race riots broke out and they were flipping police cars up there at the state capitol. You remember that, Sierra?
I do.
I don't know if you read it. I remember all that, you know, and I remember being up there and I was spit on for being Spanish. A little kid. I was spit on.
See, that's disgusting.
That's
so
tree
disgusting.
Racism. That was back in
I
the 60s.
Think that anybody
that
who's a racist is dumb. Mm-hmm. I really do. It's really, really dumb mm-hmm. to be a racist. You have to be a special kind of stupid to be a racist. Because how
right.
are you going to be mad at somebody because of something they didn't control and can't control? That doesn't
exactly.
make any sense whatsoever.
Back
you
then,
be
if you spit on a little, right? If you spit on a little kid back then and say, you're just a wetback, you know? I remember that stuff.
It's
you
insane.
And they
this whole race conversation is insane.
Oh, it is. It is. And right now, with the racism going on now, that's nothing compared to what it was back then.
And you know what? This type of racism, to me, is worse than the racism that started in the beginning of America. For
uh-huh,
me, I find
uh-huh.
it more abhorrent because it's being done
uh-huh.
by people who have already suffered from racism, so now you're going to put somebody else through it.
Yep.
You already know
yep.
how long it took to overcome it, so you
yeah.
can inflict it on somebody else so you can pop your chest out and say, hey, you got what you deserve. From individuals.
Right.
And this is the thing that pisses me off to no end. Everybody that's in this particular generation was born out of the desegregation group. These were
yeah.
parents. These were
okay.
children of parents who didn't want segregation. So if
mm-hmm.
anybody should be absolved, it should be this generation.
Since I've been a thorn in the side this evening, I'm going to ask one more thorny question. What do you think, and as I said earlier, Dr. King, one of my heroes, I've studied, I'm a big history buff. I like learning how things about how happened and stuff. And I read up on a lot of different things and stuff, and I'm going to throw you a curveball. What do you think doctors think of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, what they've become?
I think that if Martin Luther King was here, he'd slap them.
Yep.
We are our culture is very defensive, and we have a very tribal and war mentality. So I think Dr. King and Malcolm both would team up and beat him. Mm-hmm. I really do, because that's how we do. You a fan, you go out in the woods, you get your butt whooped, you come back in the house, we fix your face up. And we're
uh-huh.
That's kind of how
that's
it
right.
works. And I think that's what would have ended up happening, because you took a legacy and you turned it into a pariah on society.
Yeah. Or you get a spatula thrown at you, too.
Right?
You mentioned Malcolm X, and I tell you what, of course, you know, he did his part, civil rights movement, stuff like that. But I think what a lot of people miss was Malcolm X. If you've ever read anything, gone back and looked at his quotes and that kind of stuff, that man was a very, very deep thinker and was like almost prophetic.
Course.
Things that he said was coming. I mean, it was just amazing.
I wish he had been a Christian, but he was very prophetic. I love it when he said the worst threat to America and the melanated community, to the black community, is a white liberal.
Yeah.
I believe that those – I'm serious. I do. This has nothing to do with race. If you look at the BLM riots, majority of them were not us. Because
right.
most of us understand that America doesn't work if it is a democracy. It only works if it's a republic. If we conduct ourselves as a republic, which is what we are, is a republic, then we function well. If you operate as a democracy, just think about it. During the civil rights movement, if we were a democracy, we would have never got liberty, because democracy says one vote, one person. So the majority mm-hmm. of the people during that time didn't want the civil rights movement. So if we were a democracy, we wouldn't have got it. But because we are a republic with the systems of checks and balances so that we can maintain order, we were able to get things passed. I'm a firm believer that we are having the issues we're having now because they're treating the nation like it's a democracy when it's a republic.
That's exactly, exactly. I agree 100%.
And Marie hit the nail on the head right there. That's why I always emphasize every time that comes up is that we are a representative republic, because democracy in purest form is nothing but toddler rule.
It's just the toddler socialism.
Yeah. Well,
and
yeah,
that's why
that's
it works.
Right. Wow. Yep. Well, guys, it's getting past that time. You want to continue for another 30 minutes or so, or do you want to call it a night? Or
0330 comes early, ladies and gentlemen, so Gunny's going to have to turn it in on this one.
yeah, you know that I have a personal situation. But yeah, I do appreciate you giving me time.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I really enjoy having you on the show. You're very deep and critical.
Aren't you glad I got her on?
It's truly a pleasure, and thank you, and nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. And William, as
Sarah,
always, thank you so much for giving time.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're always welcome here. Here's a question I want to ask you before we take off and everything, is that once you get elected, you, Mac McGregor, and you know, and our friends that we know, I actually see you guys climbing in there and everything. Are you guys going to join up with Marguerite, and are you guys going to press for an investigation into all this stuff that's going on and everything? Are you going to go in with that as well, or?
Of course, I was amongst the group that actually sued the state of Georgia in the elections team in grand jury for the elections. It looks as if we got the investigation we're looking for. Warrants have been issued in the state of Georgia. So things are progressing on that front. We're going to continue to press for accountability and integrity. A message has to be sent that you will do what we ask you to do and serve us like you should, or you're going to be removed or incarcerated. It's really that simple. We need to get
right.
back to accountability. So that's going to continue.
Exactly.
I'm going to join forces with any and everybody that supports the 1776 Constitution as it is written, that does not believe mm-hmm. that it is a living document. And I'm going to support and join forces with anybody in Congress that is willing to repeal some of these stupid laws that they have put out and mandate. I will join forces with any and everybody in Congress that is willing to restore the rights of the people without reservation or restriction. So it doesn't matter. At this point, I can't tell the difference between a Republican and a Democrat. So I have thrown them all out the window. I think both of them are crazy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to team up with people who are Americans. Are you in support of this country? Do you want to see it changed and transformed into the glory it was designed to be? Are you for all people and the rule of law? Do you believe in liberties and freedoms and the ability to live and pursue happiness? If you do, we people. We can get together.
Exactly.
I don't even care who you are.
Exactly. And I thank you for coming on here. And give Lucretia a hello for me. I haven't been watching her show lately because I've been so busy during the day and everything. And I do miss her and stuff. But tell her I said hello.
She is
so amazing. God is doing a lot in her life. I'm so proud of her.
Oh, I know. I've been watching her and everything and stuff, and we talk about her all the time over here on this show. You know, but,
she is amazing.
Send her my love, and I'm glad she's, you know, and I've told her to hang on in there because there's going to be a lot of doors opening for just like you and Mac and Karen Bodini and Audrey Trujillo. We got two great runners right now here in New Mexico that are going to get it. We got Audrey Trujillo, who's running for Secretary of State against Maggie Tohouse. I'm sure you've been seeing that on your news and stuff up there in Atlanta, how that's going and stuff. Actually, Audrey's been on our show. She was actually our helper here, and she did her shows with us and everything. So, but now she's going to be Secretary of State. How cool is that?
Wow.
You know, and everything. So, but just, you know, just keep up the good fight. You know, I got your back and everything, and you're welcome to come on here at any time and stuff. I love having you here. And hopefully I can have you back on maybe again Thursday when Virgil's here. I can have you and Mac on.
Well, I will check and see. You know, that had a situation come up, and I'm about to go in and check on him. But, yes, thank you so much, William. And, listen, you know you and I talk frequently. We'll make that happen, okay?
You got it. And I hope your husband's okay and stuff. So,
me too. I'm about to go find out right now.
All righty. Well, we're going to go ahead and sign off. And everybody, tune in Thursday night. Well, we're going to have some really good, juicy news coming up that we're working on and everything. And we'll see you then. Good night, everybody.
Come and listen to Wolverine's Freedom Radio, broadcasting now on iHeartRadio, Spreaker Radio, iTunes, Spotify, and Blog Talk Radio, with William Bernard, Virgil Spragis, Russell Hodd on your favorite apps.
There's something happening here.
The end of time, in the Mississippi River, she's a-goin' dry.